am the one who is delivering the fruit through the respective devatas. But ignorant people, not understanding this, they quote the objects of their desires, and how much ever they get, they don't get fulfilled, satisfied. So if you are wise, you will directly seek the Atman, Brahman. And those who seek me, they get both the yoga and kshema. He's already said all this. So if you want to do certain rituals, fulfilling certain rituals, the rites performed to towards a particular devata, a lot of details that you need to adhere to. But if you are directly worshipping Brahman, if you become an ambassador of Brahman, then even offering patram or pushpam or phalam or poem, even a leaf, what you offer does not matter. How you offer. That is the simplest thing. You know, once you understand this bhakti to God, if you have bhakti within, then it really doesn't matter what you offer. So just patram, a leaf, pushpam, a flower, water, whatever it may be, you offer. Yomi bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti pavardam ashnami prayalatha. So in verse 26, he is also emphasizing on devotion. He is also emphasizing on effort. You will find in some people effort.
Effort.
Yeah, both have to go hand in hand. Success, the secret of success is both of them together. There has to be effort coupled with devotion. You will find in some people there is devotion but no effort. They think Bhagwan will come and write the exam. There is no such thing. You have to put in the effort. There are people who put in the effort but no devotion. Egoistic. When you perform your actions with ego, then also you don't get the result. It has to be both ways. Both has to be put together. Devotion and effort. So it is Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Whatever devote offering, Bhakta offered, I accept. With striving, Tadaham Bhakti Palutam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. Prayatatmana means a striving self. So you continue striving to offer. Doesn't matter how small it is. Sudama went with just three handful of poha. Are you with me? So, Bhagwan, when you go to Bhagwan's sannidhi, it really doesn't matter what you are taking. Right? How you are offering. Even when we do puja, we do archana to Bhagwan with the flowers. You pluck the flowers from the garden, which is actually his garden. You pluck it from his garden and offer it back to him. And when you offer, you keep it on a plate and you pick up the flower from the plate. And then what do? You don't throw it like this. You turn it upward and then let it drop at the feet of the Guru. So when the flowers turn upward, the vasanas are represented by the flowers. Flower has fragrance, which means vas. Vas represents vasanas. Your vasanas, when it turns upward, it falls. When it turns downward, it gathers more. You pick up a flower when your hands point down. And the same hands point up, you drop the flower. So symbolism is, when your focus is towards the world, the vasanas focus towards the world, it multiplies, it strengthens in, intensity. Whereas if you turn it upward, it falls. So in that context I said, whatever may be your nature, you must try to identify that nature and then offer it to Bhagwan. So in this context, Madhuji is asking a question, how do you know what my nature is? So generally you find out, first and foremost you find out, are you an introvert, are you an extrovert? Relatively speaking. Maybe you are not, it's not like 100% introvert or 100% extrovert. Maybe 70-30, maybe 50-50, maybe 60-40. To some extent, through analysis, you can find out. Right. The best time to do that is early morning. When we say early morning, when your mind is quiet and your intellect is relatively sharp, whatever level of intellect you have. With that, you unbiased do assessment of your own personality. In the 18th chapter when we study, he is going to talk about how to analyze your sattva, rajas, tamas. There we will explain to you how the personality can be kind of assessed, what category you belong to, how much of sattva, how much of rajas, how much of tamas.
So when you do assessment of your personality from different angles, you come to some conclusion as to whether you are active type or contemplative type. To that extent, you need to act. Even in action, what are your interests? Is it business or is it work? Is it dancing, painting, whatever it may be? One of the methods we suggest is, if you have doubts, usually your nature, if you keep aside all your bias, just look at it purely as your nature. What really is, what do you call that, clicks with your heart. Unfortunately, what happens in the world, certain things that you probably may really enjoy doing is not that looked up. So we may say, oh, anyway, that is my interest, but that is not looked up. For example, just giving a broad example, kabaddi. Nowadays, slowly the pro kabaddi and all that is coming. But few years ago, nobody knew you were a kabaddi player, right? Even few years ago, a badminton player was not looked up to anything. The situation is different now. So whatever may be your interest, you would certainly know when you take some time and look with it. But if you find it difficult, all you can do is take a paper sheet early in the morning, write down all your interests, and keep the paper aside. Next day do the same exercise. Do it for about 20 days, 21 days. After 21 days, take the sheet and see whatever is consistent, predominant, that's your nature. In that field, you function, but as an offering to Bhagavan. That's all. However small or big it may be. When you paint, for example, if you are interested in painting, while you paint, you just paint it as if it's an offering to Bhagavan. Don't think how much it will be sold for, will it be appreciated, will I get name, will I get fame, you know, etc. etc. Who is going to get this, where is it going to finally reach, don't worry about all that. When you are making a garland, just make the garland. Finally it may go to the mandir and find its place around the neck of Bhagavan, or it may end up going to a house where somebody is dead, and it may go to decorate somebody's dead body. How does it matter? Right? You do it as an offering to Bhagavan. And when you do it as an offering to Bhagavan, there is no ego. That's the whole thing. Bhagavan who is doing through me, with that bhav. When you do it with that bhav, there is no blockage coming from ego. Hence, when devotion couples with effort, the formula for excellence is that devotion plus effort is equal to excellence. Is that okay? So that's how you find your station. So now, this whosoever with devotion offers me a leaf, a flower, a fruit, water, anything that you can think of, that devote offering of the striving self I accept. When you strive with such, with devotion, the striving itself will not be struggle. See, devotion and love are same emotion, only the direction is different. Please understand. When the emotion is directed towards the lower, when a feeling is directed towards the lower, it's called love. And the same feeling is directed towards the higher, it's called devotion. Feeling of oneness directed towards something at your level or level below, it's called love. You say, I love my dog. When the same feeling is directed towards something higher, you say, I'm devoted to my parents. I'm devoted to my, to God, to my work. Something at your level and below your level, when you are feeling of oneness, it's called love. And the same feeling directed towards the higher, directed towards the divinity within, it's called devotion. So devotion and love are one and the same. Now what happens is, when you strive with love, there is no stress. When the same strife lacks love, lacks devotion, when the ego takes over, there is stress. I've given this example before also. When a lady Every day her work is that she had to carry some few liters of water up the hill.
Not
something like that. So it used to be very strenuous for her. One fine day she had to carry her child, who is heavier than the water that she used to carry. But she did not find it strenuous. Why? She is carrying the child, now there is love there. When love was mixed with that effort, even that effort was not any effort for her. It was effortless. So please understand, we effortlessly swing when we do an action with love. That is why constantly emphasize, do what you love. Don't do anything to satisfy anybody else. You have no obligation. You have come in this universe with a particular talent. Offer that talent. So here in this verse 26, he's talking about both devotion and effort. In 27, the emphasis is more in effort. 27 is also very important.
Yatkaroshiyadashnati yajjuhoshidadatiya yajjuhoshidadatiya yattapasyasikamteya tatkurushvamadarpanam yatkaroshiyadashnati yajjuhoshidadatiya yattapasyasikamteya tatkurushvamadarpanam yatkaroshi.
Whatever you do, yadashnati, whatever you eat, yajjukoshi, whatever you offer, dadati yat, whatever you give, yat tapas yat, whatever tapas you follow, practice. See, in other words, all these are important. You have to put in some effort, tapas. In fact, when we begin the class, we are emphasizing that. We are in fact kind of giving a promise. We are assuring. When we chant the class, when we start the class, we chant the invocation. Then what are we saying? Kana bhavatu sahana gunattu sahaviryam karavavahai. May we both strive together. Let it not be only on Thursdays we come in here, other days also we will put in effort. You are committing them. May we strive together. The Guru and the Shishya chant these verses together and they are kind of taking a vow, assurance that we will strive together. That effort.
Tejasvi
means let me study, make me become brilliant. In other words, enlightened. See, usually you may become knowledgeable, not tejasvi. Please understand, you are already tejasvi. You are essentially divine, not Rita Ashweta. This is what you believe yourself to be. Who is Rita? Who is Shweta? Who is Ami? Tejasvi plus ignorance. It's like a 1000 watts bulb glowing. Uske upar you have put 250 thick blankets. Under bulb is glowing. But since you have put about 250,000 blankets, thick black blankets above it, are you seeing the tejas of the bulb? Now, if you want to see the tejas of the bulb, what do you have to do? Remove the blanket, not add more blankets. White blankets I am adding. Will it become tejasvi? Similarly, when I study, I learn and add more information to myself, I won't become tejasvi. It will be like adding more white blankets. Are you with me? So tejasvi hone ke liye kya karna chahiye? Using this information, I must remove the vasanas, ignorance, अनलर्निंग होना चाहिए, लर्निंग नहीं. जब आई डू अनलर्निंग देन आई बिकम तेजस्वी. इज इट क्लियर? तेजस्वी नावती तमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. मे वी नॉट आर्ग्यू विथ ईच अदर ऑल्सो. देर शुड बी डिस्कशन, नो आर्ग्यूमेंट. दीज आर ऑल being said in the prayer. So come back. There has to be tapas. What is tapas? Tapas is a two-fold discipline. And the most important of the two-fold is the first fold. What is that? Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channel. First thing. What are the channels through which our energy is getting dissipated? The five senses and the mind. So we need to conserve the energy. Right? If you eat too much, your energy will be spent more to digest the food. If you eat too little, then there won't be any energy only. Therefore, tapas has to be correct amount of eating. Similarly, correct amount of sleeping. And correct amount of talking. Just because you have unlimited plan doesn't mean you go on talking. Anyway, unlimited. You understand? Tapas. That is why Maunam is emphasized. Just conservation of energy alone is not enough. The energy thus conserved should be directed towards the higher. That's the second fold. Brahmacharya is emphasized for that reason only, for the conservation of energy. So when you try to rise higher, without tapas there can be no rising, impossible. Tapas has to be mixed with devotion. Yat karoshi yadashnasi ujjuhoshi vajasya. Whatever you may eat, do it as an offering to me. That is why before we start eating, eating is a very powerful indulgence, right, which we cannot stop. Other things we can. If you want to survive, you have to eat, right? So eating is taken here. Whatever you eat means anything that goes in. It's not just eating. Through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, everything. So whatever you do through your organs of action, whatever you contact with your organs of perception, and whatever you offer to Bhagwan or to anything in your life, whatever you give, distribute to people, which means all these are essential aspects of spiritual living. Right? Do it as an offering. To do it as an offering, when you do this langar, you see this langar many times, some of you may be doing also. When you do this langar, it's amazing, you know. Heavy traffic jam ho jaye, first thing. Secondly, that place is littered maximum. You are doing dana to people and you have messed up the place. Can you not make sure the place is clean? You make sure that the dhanam is distributed to people. Some people even personally go. It's a good bhav. But why don't you make sure that it is cleaned? Is it done in proper devotion? If we had that devotion truly, do you think our place of worship will be so dirty? Do we have to think of clean Ganga project now? Ganga is supposed to be cleansing everybody's path. Now we need to kind of go ahead and clean the Ganga itself. And they are saying it's almost an impossible project. So much money and effort and everything, cooperation is required. Is it possible? Are you with me? So when you think of this, when you give, that giving should be associated with devotion. How will it be when the devotion is associated with giving? You understand, Bhagavan is giving through me. I am not giving. I am talking now, Bhagavan is talking through me. I am only an instrument. I am only an ambassador. Yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yachuhoshi, dadasi, yat யத் தபஸ்வதி கௌண்டல்யா. ஓ குந்தி புத்திர அர்ஜுனா, வாட் எவர் யூ டூ, ஹவு கேன் ஐ கில், ஹவு கேன் ஐ கில், இந்த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர், ஹோல் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் இஸ் நதிங் பட் ஐ ஐ ஐ ஐ ஐ. I told you, no one fellow wrote a book, the Europe I saw. Europe I saw. Right. And I believe in that book, there is only full of I, 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 I. So somebody wrote a review saying, it, the book should be renamed. Not, it should not be Europe I saw, the I that saw the Europe. Or the I that hardly saw Europe. Yeah, that's only I. I, 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 I. Maine itna mehnat kiya, how much I have done to my brothers, how much I have done to my children, how much I have done to my sisters, children, mother, babe. So much Bhagavan is doing. Is he making his presence known? Simply shut your mouth. Mouthshut.com, I saw one. We have grown auto rickshaw. Mouthshut.com. My God. Simply shut your mouth and function. I am not saying, Sri Krishna is saying this. That's what this verse means. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give, whatever austerity you practice. Which means what? He's assuming you are practicing all this. Right? Ukamdaya, do that as an offering to me. Offering to me, if it is offered to Bhagavan, means who will be there? Only Bhagavan will be there. Jitna I, usme aa jayega, utna it is not offering. When you do it like that, see, in other words, all he is saying is, when you directly worship the Infinite, you function like that. Otherwise, if you go to the, pleasing the Devata, and there are rituals which you have to practice this way, that way, so many things. But to do puja to Bhagavan, it is very sulabha, simple. That's why I gave you the example of Ganeshji and Subramanian. Subramanian, Lord Subramanian had to go around the whole world with his, on his peacock. Ganeshji simply went around his father and mother, Shiva and Parvati. Same in practice. Is achieved the same result, no? So it is not, it does not matter what you do. What matters is how you do it. We give importance to what we do, not how we do. But as Sri Krishna says, give importance to how you do. The insight. So, yat karoshi, yadashnati. You must keep on repeating these verses automatically. Even if you remember one is another. Yat karoshi. Tat purushva madarpa. Whatever you do, do that as an offering to him. Eju hoshi. Dadati yat. Dadati means whatever you do. That, do it as an offering to him. In giving, only Bhagavan should be there. No I. In action, only Bhagavan should be there. In tapas, only Bhagavan should be there. In everything, do it as an offering to him. Then when you do that as an offering, what happens is, even if the offering has some blemish, Obi, consumed by Bhagavan, gets totally digested, totally burnt. That's why in this country, when thieves go to steal, they do puja and go. It's a fact. They are doing it as a duty. That's all they know. The fact that you are doing it prayerfully, the power of prayer is such that it will purify your actions. Please understand this. When you roast the rice and throw it in the garden, it won't germinate. Without roasting the rice, if you throw it in the garden, it will germinate. isn't it? But if you roast the rice and then throw it, it won't germinate. So the heat of devotion, the heat of knowledge, the awareness. What is bhakti? When you say bhakti, bhakti is not simply shouting through a loudspeaker and making the neighbors not sleep. It's not some great achievement. Bhakti simply means what? What does bhakti mean? What is bhakti?
No, I'm not asking English translation.
What is devotion? What is bhakti? What is devotion?
To do anything without ego, to just offer it without separate self.
Hmm.
No faith.
Faith.
Bhakti. Faith. Bhakti comes from that.
With full samarpan bhav. What this verse says.
There is no I.
Bhakti simply means awareness. Devotion means awareness. Awareness of the hand of divinity in every aspect of life. And you are aware of everything that is being provided to you from the time you are born.
As a result of which, automatically you are grateful to everything that you have received and you are continuously receiving even now. And therefore what happens is, with that awareness, automatically follows an attitude of gratitude. Anything you do thereafter will be a repayment. Bhav of repayment. It won't be an action done for some salary or something. Whether it is painting or dancing or singing or talking, will be an act of repayment with that awareness. That is bhakti. So bhakti simply means identification or awareness with that divinity which is all pervading. So you are very clearly seeing the hand of divinity in every aspect of life. With that awareness, when you do any action, it becomes bhakti. Tera na mera. Without that, even if you do puja, even if you teach Bhagavad Gita class, it is not spiritual action. So, even in fact, it's going to say that in verse 31, I think, 30 or 31. Whatever may be the action, even the so-called simple action, you try, it's not leaving you. Do it as a prayer. Yat karoshi. The beauty of that action is the fact that it is done prayerfully, slowly the prayerfulness will change you. The habits will change because you are doing it prayerfully. That's the whole idea. Yat karoshi yadashi. You do not consume anything without offering to Bhagavan. Now this practice can be done mechanically by a lot of people. They will not eat without offering to Bhagavan. Offering to Bhagavan means what? It's not just saying Om Brahma Pranam Brahma Arihi and then eating. That's a ritual. The real significance of the ritual is, where is Bhagavan? In everywhere, in everybody's heart. So, without offering means, firstly what you consume itself will be a byproduct after you are offering to everybody. Your actions must be done in the spirit of an offering to everybody, welfare of the whole universe. Then whatever comes out of such an activity, with that you are eating, that itself is an offering. Thereafter, even if you don't serve Brahmarpanam, it's okay. You still as a ritual you practice. In many what happens is they practice this ritual. But the food is coming out of the selfish action. Coming out of selfish action. Is it real offering? The Vaishvanara is there in your stomach. But the real Atma is everywhere also. So therefore, the food that you earned should itself come as a result of your offering to the whole universe. Remember in the third chapter he talks about Loka Sangraha. A beautiful coinage of word. Loka Sangraha means welfare of the whole universe. When in your action, devotion mixes, you are manufacturing a product. You should put yourself in the customer's angle. Will I pay that money to buy this product? Then it is devotion. I told you, no? You go to some of the abroad countries, first thing you notice is this. In the pedestrian crossing, there is a ramp. And all platforms are same height. When you do parallel parking of the car, you are easily open. In India, sometimes when you do parallel parking, open the car door gets stuck in the platform. And in the middle of the road, they have this median. It is like climbing a building. You understand? Even people like us who are healthy cannot climb that. How about physically challenged people? How about elderly people? Children? Do you really think about them? But if you see every street has some 5,000 temples, 250 mosques, or 5,000 mosques, 5,000 churches. There is no dearth of those things in India. What is bhakti? Do you, when you make a median, central median, you must think, na? The fellows have to cross, how will they cross the road? How do you expect them to cross the road? There is no ramp for pregnant women crossing, elderly people crossing, people with children crossing. How will they take their pram? When you cross the road, you see these things, you know. That is bhakti. You know, sometimes when people go abroad, they ask me, shall I bring something to you? Most of the time I tell them, you get a plug, you know. The sockets basically, the 3-pin socket, 2-pin socket. Nowadays it's available in India also, but I'm talking about a few years ago. The plugs in India, manufactured in India, when you will put your plug, one fellow has to be permanently employed to hold it. Otherwise it will be like, you know, as if some tinkering has happened. some pencil has to be kept.
Yeah.
Oh, sitting cooler. You know, when you buy a socket from abroad, it just fits in beautifully, brilliantly. You don't think the road. You're manufacturing, no? You're manufacturing. What is missing there? Manas is not missing. Bhakti is missing. When you do puja at home, you're offering something to Bhagwan. You make sure there should be nothing spoiled there. You check each and every piece and then keep it in Bhagwan. That is a ritual, which means that bhav should come in your action. Then it is bhakti. When I go and do an action, I do it selfishly. Then out of my selfish action, whatever I've earned, I put the food on the plate and I'm doing Om Brahmar Padam Brahmavi. It's a very mechanical ritual. Please understand. So when he says as an offering, this is what he means. Each and every aspect, you will be so conscious. If you remember, recollect, in the third chapter he already talked about three people, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic people. Tamasic people eat without producing. Stena eva saha. They are akin to thieves, he said. One who consumes without contributing. That is tamasic. Rajasic, he says, they cook, meaning they contribute, they act, but they eat sin, means agitation. So much of selfish activities, the end of the day they only get agitation. Then sattvic people, what did he say? One who eats the remnants of sacrifice. All their actions will be an offering to Bhagavan, who is present everywhere. Then whatever comes out of that activity will be prasad. That prasad also they share in it. That prasad also they say the ritual of Brahmarpana and then this is the bhav. When this bhav comes in your life, you are so conscious of all the things that is being provided to you from the time you are born. You will not have any complaints that this is missing in my life, that is missing in my life. complaints are there now because you are oblivious to everything that is being provided to you. The moment you become aware, automatically you'll have that a feeling that comes oozing out of you as a result of the awareness of presence of divinity everywhere, hand of divinity in everything. That is called bhakti. Then silently you continue doing your work. Very silently. The gentleman Satyarthi recently became popular. Till then not many people knew about him. Why he became popular? Because he got Nobel Prize. After that now all the channels and everybody is interviewing him. While he was working, Robert Browning says, less is more. In his poetry, Andrew Del Sarto, he says, less is more, Lucretia. Less is more. People who do real work hardly know. Anything qualitative hardly known. So silent work. That work is called devotional work. He says, do that as an offering. Shubha Shubha Palai Revam Mokshate Karma Bandhanaihi Mokshate Karma Bandhanaihi Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mamu Paishyati Vimukto Mamu Paishyati Shubha Shubha Palai Revam Mokshate Karma Bandhanaihi Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mamu Paishyati. Thus you shall be freed from the bonds of actions bearing good and evil results. So the way to overcome vasana is to do any action as an offering. That's what I told you. If supposing you do an action which happens to be selfish, even then you say, okay Bhagavan, I'm not able to get rid of this selfish activity. Please help me to get rid of this. Let me do this as an offering to you. With that bhav you continue doing, slowly what happens? Even that will drop. An action when it is performed propelled by good desires to develop, you get as a result, what do you get? What fun do you get? Punya. Because your actions are propelled by good desires. You do an action propelled by negative desires, what is that you get? Pap. You do an action with no propulsion, done as thing for Bhagavan. Then no good, no bad. No punya, no pap. The action will burn in that awareness. So he says, thus you shall be freed from the bonds of actions, bearing good and evil results. So don't do anything propelled by selfish desires, whether good or bad. Simply do it as an offering to Bhagavan. So if you are teaching Bhagavad Gita, do it as an offering to Bhagavan. If you are sweeping the floor, do it as an offering to Bhagavan. If you are doing your business, do that as an offering to Bhagavan. When you have that attitude of how slowly your vasana will drop. So he says, seeking union, seeking liberation, union with the self. By sannyasa yoga. Sannyasa means detachment. Yoga means union. Union of detachment. What it means is, you attach yourself to the higher, then the lower will automatically drop. You climb the ladder. Your right foot should be firmly placed on the upper one, then the left foot could be removed. Not otherwise. So you cannot detach from the lower unless you attach yourself to the higher. So you attach yourself to the higher, do everything as an offering to the higher, then slowly your vasana from the lower will go. That is what Krishna has been saying from the beginning. Give it to me, I will take care. If you say, I will only do, he leaves it to you. Chalo. Yeah, come. Understand? You need not worry, no? Same thing when you surrender to a guru. When you surrender totally, now it's the problem of guru, no? Because you have surrendered. Not surrendered, no problem, one student less. So, sannyasa yoga. So seeking union by sannyasa yoga, liberation, you get liberation, you get liberated. You shall come to me. All your vasanas drop. I told you already. When your hands focus down, you pick up the club. The same hands when you turn upward, it falls. Vasanas fall. The flower falls. That's the simple thing. The idea is not to condemn your vasanas. Even negative habits. You tried your best, it's not leaving. What do? The negative habit also, you offer it to Bhagavan. Slowly you will see. The awareness will become a conflagration. You cannot do it. Impossible. For a period of time. That's why I said peace also in this country. Pray to Bhagavan and then go to sleep. Pray to Bhagavan, not that they should get a lot of this thing today and not get caught. Praying to Bhagavan, this we are doing as a praying to Bhagavan. Slowly that fellow will change. He cannot do it anymore. That is why in Tihar jail, when Kiran Bedi introduced meditation, Vipassana and all that, fellows completely were changed. Even after that, you could tell them to go and sleep, they cannot. Because under prayerfulness and awareness has come. Just because under prayerfulness and awareness has come, they cannot do anything negative. In fact, you must bring about a change inside. So by constantly uniting with the higher, lower, follow. A gentleman met me in Chandigarh after my lectures. He said, I've been studying Vedanta for quite many years, but I'm not able to write about eating meat. I tried giving up forcefully many times. But I've got back to it. So there's a saying. Just giving up smoking is the easiest thing to do. I've done it many times. So like that man said, I've stopped eating forcefully, meat and all that. But it comes back. What do I do? I told him, don't worry. If I tell you to forcefully stop now, again you will take it up maybe later. That is why in our tradition what they do is, Tuesday you don't eat for this reason, Thursday you don't eat. So those days you are doing, you are eating only vegetarian food, but you do a lot of puja for Mata, for Krishna, for Sai Baba, whosoever it is. So I told him like that, moderate. Regulate. Don't say I will not eat. Because if you say I will not eat, your inside your mind is craving for it. Instead of that, regulate, moderate. Once a week or twice a week or once in 2 weeks, whatever it is. But don't moderate your study. Of course, moderate your study on a daily basis. On a daily basis, you study and reflect, but don't study more than a certain amount of time. You try to study as early as possible. No? Do your reflection, do your puja, do everything that you do as a karma yoga, all that I told you. But with reference to eating meat, don't criticize yourself. Unregulated, moderated. When you eat, don't eat with guilt. Just continue eating this, whatever your eating habit is, with awareness. Over a period of time, it will go. Same. What Krishna said is what I told you. Yes, Karoshi, Vedashnati, Jihoshi, Vedashnati. Automatically, when you attach yourself to the higher, slowly the lower will. That's the idea. So your focus should be in attaching to the higher rather than detaching from the lower. A lot of people emphasize on detachment. The focus should not be in detachment. The focus should be in attachment. When I attach myself to the higher, see, for that I require training, for that I require satsang in the beginning. Nobody needs to tell me. I don't require any lecture on becoming consistent with reference to attaching myself to the lower. You must make a chart. How many parties do I attend? How many classes do I attend? I have a commitment to the class myself. But still, how many classes do I attend? And do this objectively. Don't bring in guilt there, having done the assessment. But find out. Is that thoda mehnat chahiye? Whether it's not mehnat nahi chahiye. So attach yourself to the higher. Slowly the lower will drop. But the problem is, we attach to the lower more. So this is what he's saying. Sannyasa yoga. Union of detachment. You detach from the lower only when you get attached to the higher. How many days do you do yoga? How many days do you go for a walk? How many days do you study? How many days do you have bhakti practices? How much of dharma you do every day? Vis-a-vis your attachment to the lower. And slowly your attachment to the higher increases. You will do something with it. Then the lower will drop. Next verse. Then he says, you will get totally liberated and reach me. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, samoham sarva bhuteshu, name dveshyoti napriyaha, name dveshyoti napriyaha, eva jasti tu mam bhaktya, eva jasti tu mam bhaktya, maite teshu chapyaham, maite teshu chapyaham, samoham sarva bhuteshu, name dveshyoti napriyaha, eva jasti tu mam bhaktya, maite teshu chapyaham, the same am I in all being. There is none hateful or dear to me. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti napriya. Nobody is more close to me, nobody is less close to me. I am same, neutral. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. The more and more you unite yourself through bhakti to Bhagavan, you become like Bhagavan. For you also everything will be same. Earlier he said samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Means what? A lump of earth, stone and gold. You are samadarshana. And also he said, a brahmana and a chandala. A brahmana who is endowed with vidya and vinaya. Vidya, vinaya sampanne, brahmane, kavihattini, kumishyaiva, shvapakeja, pandita, samadarshana. Verse number 18, chapter 5, he said, a brahmana with those high qualities of learnedness and humility, vidya and vinaya, and chandala who eats dog's meat, and a cow, dog and elephant, everything he views equally. Samaloshtasma kanchanaha, lump of earth, stone and gold, same precious trifles. That's what it means. What does precious trifle mean? They are precious in this world, but they are also trifle. Means even this shall pass away. You know, the Nabudaki when they used to teach, and a doctor couple attending my classes, Dr. Mangalavani and Dr. Prasulman. She's a gynecologist and he is an anesthetist. They went to, with the family, they went to Johannesburg. From Johannesburg, when they were going to their friend's house, in the car, another car overtook them, stopped them in between a gunpoint, and robbed everything from them. Whatever they asked, they gave. Diamonds, passports, everything. Still they were very grateful because they were left alive. Usually I believe they will be killed. And then they made their passports, contacting the Indian embassy there and came back to Australia. Whatever the fellow asked, they gave, no? Including diamonds. Why? Life is more precious. Compared to life, diamonds are precious. It's precious trifle.
All that you are collecting is precious, trifle. But the cost of your life is more precious. This is what the Upanishads are telling us. The philosophers are telling us this only. What are you collecting? One way of finding out how rich you are is finding out what you have been collecting. The 16th chapter comes now. It's called as Daiva Asura Sampat Vibhagam. Sampat means wealth. What wealth have you got? Daiva Sampati or Asura Sampati? Asura Sampati means precious treasures. Daiva Sampati means character. What have you collected? Daiva Sampati or Asura Sampati? So if you rise higher and higher, slowly this Samatva Bhav will come. The same am I in all beings, including mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, including your neighbor, whosoever is giving trouble, Samatva Bhav, same am I. In all beings, there is none hateful or dear to me. There is no preferential treatment. But those who worship me with devotion, they are in me and I am also in me. Simple. Somebody's back is turned to me, shown to me. Somebody's eyes are seeing me. They are standing next to me. Or rather, I am standing next to everybody. Bhagwan is available to everybody. Only thing is, our direction is towards the world. If your direction is turned towards me, I am right there. That's what he's saying. When he says, those who looks at me with devotion, who worship me with devotion, they are in me, I am in them. Their attention is in me. Since their attention is in me, I am in them. See, you may be in the class now, but I still ask you, are you with me? Are you here? Please what? Is your attention here? Where are you? When I say, where are you? Where is your attention? Is the attention also in the class or has it gone somewhere? So devotee means his attention is totally in the Bhagavan. Otherwise you are like Attati. In Tirupati, you remember the example we gave, 7th chapter we studied, which Chinmayamji talked about. First of all, you are going to Mandir, that's too like a Tirupati Mandir. Then you have to stand in a big queue even if it is a VIP queue. Like even in VIP queue, finally when you come to the sanctum sanctorum, everything merges. And as they get closer and closer, the bhakti intensifies, the bhakti lot. Pushing and all that increases. And everybody shouts there. Edukutala Vada, Venkatramana, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. Everybody is shouting. As they shout, you have gone with diamonds and necklaces with diamonds, right? You are shouting, Vidukundala Vada, Venkatramana, Govinda, 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 whether it has been taken away or not. So where is your attention? Huh? Going to, at least Bhagavan Mandir, why you want to wait? All Muslims can go. Why can't you just go and empty and free, you know? And then you are thinking about this. There is attention. So it's not where you are, where your attention is. Since devotee's attention is in me, he is in me, I am in him. So therefore, I am neutral, I have no preference. But how much you utilize me, it's in you. That's what he's saying. You turn your back, you turn the other side, he's not going to sit and complain. See? Bhagwan is compared to wind. Person who relaxes himself is also like wind. Wind doesn't complain, oh, in this house all the doors are shut. I'm not able to go inside. Doesn't complain. In neighbor's house, windows are open. Goes inside. Wherever the kiriki is open, it goes. Kiriki bandha, it is not worried. So, how much you use me is in your hands. The infinite potential is available equally to everybody. Somebody turns the attention towards me, we get it. Somebody turns the attention towards the world outside, they don't get it. Simple. So when a person's attention is turned towards Bhagavan, he will be in a constant inspiration. And therefore he is energized. When your focus is all the time on the world, your energy gets sapped. Initially it's okay. This is the difference between a workaholic and a bhakta. When a bhakta does karma yoga, he is unstoppable. Because his energy is not coming from the result that is being promised. His energy is coming from the devotion. He is serving Bhagavan through that action. Whereas a workaholic, he is also acting so much, but his energy slowly deflates when he is not seeing the assurance of the results coming forth. When the results are coming forth, he is very energetic. And the results are not coming forth, his inspiration gets slowly diluted. This is the difference between working for incentive and out of inspiration. When you work out of devotion, it is out of inspiration. You go to your work to repay, not to earn. You will be grateful for everything that is being provided. Next verse.
Api chet suduracharaha, api chet suduracharaha, bhajate mamananya bhav, bhajate mamananya bhav, sadurevasa mantavyah, sadurevasa mantavyah, samyagvyavasito hi saha, api chet suduracharaha, bhajate mamananya bhav, sadurevasa mantavyah, samyagvyavasito hi saha.
Even if a very wicked person worships me, api chet suduracharaha, even if you happen to be the most wicked person, selfish person, but if you worship me with unswerving devotion, mam ananya bhava, with unprostituting devotion, with single-pointed devotion, unswerving devotion, he too shall reach me. Why? He too shall be regarded as religious indeed, for he has rightly resolved. Because direction change again. I told you, even the so-called bad action, selfish action, wicked action, if the direction is turned towards the higher, it cannot survive. And also what he is trying to say here is, it doesn't matter till date you have been wicked, you could still reach. Like that story of running away between the hare and the tortoise. Hare has more potential, but tortoise won the race. Why? Because it was continuously moving in the direction. So till now you could have been wicked, doesn't matter. Right now, if you resolve to turn your direction, you also have redemption. Have redemption. You also get liberated. So all that Krishna is trying to say is, I have been waiting for you. Just turn this side, I can help you. So don't turn this side, I can't help you. That's what they say, na? Even God can only help those who want to help themselves. Dare Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadaye Atmaiva Atmano Banduku Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. Verse number 5, chapter 6. Very famous off quoted verse. Dare Atmanatmanam. Lift yourself by. Krishna is saying, just turn this side. Just turn. Both Arjuna and Duryodhana went to Krishna. But Arjuna's attention was constantly on Krishna. Duryodhana's attention was on the weapons. He got what he wanted, weapons. But Arjuna got Krishna. See, the problem is even when you are given a choice, you should know what to choose. We do not have that clarity. We choose the material, while Arjuna chose the Krishna. Just turn this side. So many stories are there. Markandeya's story. Markandeya was supposed to be, he should live only for 16 years. So Yama came when he was 16 to take his life. So Markandeya ran to save himself from Yama. So the great bhakta of Lord Shiva. So Yama was chasing him with this rope. Then Markandeya went and tightly hugged Shivalinga. Yama threw his rope and his rope fell on Markandeya and Shivalinga. Shivalinga came swayam and then blessed Markandeya that you will be always 16. That's the story. What it means is, whatever may be your karma, all karma and everything can only affect you so long as you have not reached the feet of Bhagavan. Once you have tightly held the feet of Bhagavan, no karma will do anything. You started burning the karma. Please understand. The burning should go away. Burning of karma has started. You don't have to worry. Hold on to the feet of Bhagavan. That's what it means. Ratnakar is Valmiki. So Ratnakar example is the best example for this. But Apiche Sudurachara. Durachara means wicked person. Most wicked person, Sudurachara. Don't worry, doesn't matter. In other words, what you do doesn't matter how you do. What you offer doesn't matter how you offer. What you wear till date doesn't matter. From now on what you are. That's what I mean. Word so much of this talk that doesn't matter. In other words, past really doesn't matter. Karma ke baare mein socho mat. Lot of people, they want to know about their past. What did I do in the past? Did I maybe this? Don't worry. This is fate of complete. It's already been done. From now on you do consciously. From now on you do everything prayerfully. So he says, even if you are a very wicked person and you worship me with unswerving devotion, all I want is unswerving devotion, nothing else. Only the devotion I want, nothing from you. He too shall be regarded as religious. Not only the one who has been doing good from many years. He's also been joined. He's also joined now. Indeed, for he has rightly resolved. See, the whole question is, what direction do you take? Do you take the higher direction or the lower direction? Is your energy flowing upward or downward? What spiral? Is it upward spiral or downward spiral? That is the meaning of confession in Christianity. Even going and dipping in a Ganges, that's the meaning. Going and dipping in Ganges means what? Now I'm a newborn. From now on, I'm committing myself for a higher life. The fact, you see, the hope, all we don't understand is,
pile of karma, many big, but one matchstick of fire is enough. You have a huge pile of dry hay, and somebody has a little fire. Doesn't matter. Both require only a spark of fire. That will blow the whole pile. So how does it matter if your pile is full of wickedness? Now you have given it to him. Now it is his problem. Like when you check in, you inform them glass articles are there. Then they put on fragile sticker. And then they carefully handle it. Handle with care. You happily sit down, watch movie, and fly. That's all he's saying. Why don't you offload it to me?
He's asking you to offload. You're saying, no, I would still keep it. Keep it.
I can do it.
You keep it with yourself. He's saying, okay, chalo bhai. Keep it.
Example of
Draupadi when she
is holding
my clothes,
she actually
throws her hands
up and whatever it is,
yeah,
surrender.
But in this particular word, we are talking about whatever it may be inside. Karma. Everything you offload it to me. You simply start functioning normally now. I will take care of your karma. It's my problem. How to release you?
I told Krishna, you have to release me. I am doing effort in that direction.
He will release me.
That's the promise he is saying him. He has rightly resolved.
See, and so what you need to understand here is, little deeply if you go into this verse, you look at this verse from a different angle. Many a times, the so-called wicked people will jump into divinity rather than the so-called good people. Can you tell me why?
I think there's more honesty in the so-called wicked people.
The so-called good people, they are very comfortable doing the good things. The wicked person, even though he is doing wicked things, he is very aware. He is not doing it mechanically. When you mechanically do good things, you don't jump across. But with awareness you do even wicked things, you jump across. That's why I find sometimes an atheist will get convinced to come to the class. But you cannot convince the so-called religious person to come to the class. I am not here, increasing my class population. But I am just trying to say it's very difficult. Because I say I am doing good things. The element of benevolent ego mixes with good work. That itself becomes a hindrance for them to jump into the fire of divinity. Whereas the other fellow is doing negative, but he is very aware. That fellow will jump. Even a wicked person worships me with awareness, he will jump into it. What matters is that awareness. Don't do anything mechanically. Pujas over a period of time start becoming mechanical. Now sometimes you go to some mandir, they say, if you give us some money, we will do the puja on your behalf the whole year. Prasad only will come to you. Even if you do that at home, you should have that bhav. Many times, you know, it's like nowadays slowly pujas are done in the internet.
Yeah.
You know, everything is digitized.
Really? Yeah, prasad comes. Somebody started and sent me a mail, then the prasad will come to you. You have to order online. Your puja will be done.
Everything is becoming mechanical. Thank you.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. సకలం పరస్మై నారాయణాయేతి సమర్పయామి.